For sure. Yeah.
I love it. I love Detroit.
I love this shit.
Like I was saying,
too.
I was talking about the
He was trying to holler at you.
For real. And I was like, no, I don't give my number. I'll give him an email.
He asked me for a dollar, but he's trying to hit on you for a phone number or something like that, too.
I don't give my phone number out to people I don't know because I don't answer my phone from numbers I don't know. So they would get pitched straight to voicemail.
He gonna send you that email because the thirst is real.
Well, I want to know about his podcast if that's real.
But you know what? We did do a shameless plug and say, hey, listen to Do Better D-Dot, right?
For real. I'm like, okay, this is the third time telling my damn Faygo Red Pop beer story. No. And every time I came back, like I was saying, every time I came back to Traffic Jam and Snuff to try this damn Faygo beer pop, they were out every freaking time. And to this day, I don't know what
it's
it tasted
an
like.
Fulfilled void.
It was like that when I would read Harry Potter books and they would always mention butterbeer. And I used to be up in the middle of the freaking night wondering what butterbeer tasted like. And then one day I finally tasted it because I went to Harry Potter World. And it was fantastic.
Where is Harry Potter World?
I went to the one in Japan, but we've got one here in Orlando at Universal Studios.
Yeah, I figured that's the one in the States too. I didn't know they, mm-hmm. well.
They have one in Japan.
Yep. Sweet.
And I finally got to taste it, and it was as good as I thought it would be.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get into everything.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. So, you guys listening to the Do Better D-Dot podcast. I'm your host, Sam.
And Ray.
And let's get straight into it, actually. I can't believe how much support we have gotten and are still continuing to get. Like I'm overwhelmed. Our Facebook page blew up.
Wow, it did.
Quick.
And we thank you all of you.
Yes.
Thank you. Share, post. Let's have this conversation offline too.
Yes.
Continue. Just please share the links and everything. Thank you for the love.
Yes. And also you guys can continue to interact with us through Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and our email, which is dobetterd.@gmail.com. Was it today? We just got added on Twitter and I was like, who's that?
Oh, wow, somebody mentioned us.
And what was their problem? I forgot. I was too excited, but then I kept reading.
I actually remember. So, okay. Of course, we're not going to say their name, but they're one of our listeners. And thank you for listening to us, by the way, and catching us to our attention. So, it was about a commuter benefit. And some people, through their employer, they'll get, a debit card or some sort of, card where they can spend the funds on transit passes and monthly passes of that sort. So, we got tagged in a tweet basically saying, it was, over a month that this fellow was trying to use his commuter benefits so he can buy the passes. And he raised the issue up to DDOT's attention, and it's been a month and nothing has happened. And basically the issue was that they needed to change some sort of IRS designation on their cash register machines, and they haven't gotten to doing that yet because a lot of organizations, they have to use kind of pre-tax dollars for this commuter benefit. So some IRS implications, and DDOT's not compliant, or their machines are not registering that it's something with the IRS.
Yeah.
I guess when your employer offers some sort of commuter benefit, it does touch on some sort of pre-tax or post-tax thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to have the correct IRS designation on their receipts as tax-free. And I guess they didn't do that. So it's some error. But we're going to raise that to DDOT's attention. And we really thank you for raising that, really tweeting at us about that issue. Thank you for raising that to our attention. And we're going to raise that issue and see what solution comes out of this. And I hope that your issue gets rectified as soon as possible because that's something so.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that to our attention. So why don't we get straight into some housekeeping, some
All
DART
right.
info as usual.
What is DART? DART is our new fare pay system, right? So DART is a new way to pay for transit. Say before you pay. There are no more transfers, no more additional fees. Pay once and ride on both DDOT and Smart. All of this information and more is also on the DDOT website, DetroitMI.gov. That is DetroitMI.gov.
All right, thank you. Once again, you were excellent. at giving us that info.
I try my best.
All right, so let's get down to it. Our last little bit of info we need to get into before we get into the very heart of our episode today. We just went to a DDOT community input meeting on June 20th. And needless to say, things were pretty interesting at this meeting.
Oh, yeah.
But first thing first, we want to let everybody know that there's no meeting in July for the DDOT community input meeting. Once again, we will not be meeting in July. We'll be skipping that month and going straight into August. And that next meeting is August 15th, 2019, by the way.
And in case you forget, it's the third Thursday of the month.
Right. We're just not, for some odd reason, this July. I don't think that they even explained why. Or maybe I missed it. I don't know. But yeah, we're just, for some odd reason, not meeting in July.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Whatever. Maybe it's because it's like they're the beginning of their next fiscal year. I have no clue.
Something like that, or everybody just decided to go on vacation. Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, how did you feel? I mean, you were a little late that day, but I'm pretty sure you gauged.
I was really kind of in and out. Yeah. It seemed like they were giving answers to give answers.
The usual, yeah.
And I feel like the public, kind of like the mood, it's regressing. Mm. Like, we were really doing good earlier this year. We were like in a circle. Mm-hmm. Everyone got to speak. It was such a good atmosphere and energy, and maybe because it was a different facilitator. But
yeah,
the
maybe,
past
yeah.
couple of months, it's kind of reverted back to like us sitting in rows facing the presenter. Mm-hmm. It and then like it almost felt like a privilege to speak. Mm-hmm. And they kind of went all out of order, because when I got there, they weren't like, people weren't speaking in order. It was just kind of like it's like
they fixed that. They did fix that eventually, but it was like more than halfway through the meeting when they fixed that. When we started going in order again, yeah. It was
and
weird.
It's like their meeting style's inconsistent. We were doing so good at first, mm-hmm. but it's like they're slipping up. But you know, we're gonna say something. We're gonna hold them accountable. Of course,
always,
but,
always.
Yeah.
And then
our
like
meeting.
I don't know. Sometimes when we go to these meetings, I feel like it's us against them
yeah.
instead of us all trying to be together and come up with some sort of solution or some mm-hmm. sort of compromise. Because every time we bring up an issue with DDOT, they're very like, how do I say it? They seem offended. Like, we're personally attacking them.
And they're very
them.
Defensive,
they're
too.
They're so defensive.
Very defensive.
It. And it's like, you know, we're not attacking you, like, the representatives per se. We're attacking the system. And we're trying to let people know, like, this is how it can work for us. Can we come to some sort of compromise?
We're your employers yeah. trying to hold them, the employees, mm-hmm. accountable for the work. If you said that you committed to X, Y, and Z the previous month, don't you think, like, any employer or supervisor, they would want mm-hmm. results on the things you said? So, they're giving answers to give answers. We're working on it. Remember mm-hmm. that from episode, what was that, one or two?
Yeah.
We're working on it.
One.
I think that was,
think
one.
It was one,
yeah.
and also, I felt like they were a little apathetic to our concerns, because, just a little FYI, the concerns we have now are literally the same concerns we had in January. And we're just basically repeating them, and we're repeating them because we haven't seen any changes.
But not only we've been repeating, we've been also asking for like elaboration on like timeline,
mm-hmm.
like what has been done. Mm-hmm. So our questions are specific and pointed in a way like, what did you do? Rather than, we need you to do this, we need you to do this, we need you to do this, and their answer is still the same. It's kind of like a non-answer mm-hmm. or a half-answer. You can say you didn't do anything.
Right.
You can say you didn't get to that yet. But we get excuses a lot too.
Lots of excuses. And like I said to them, I said, I feel like at this point, you guys are trying to implement progress for progress's sake, just to make it look like DDOT is doing something new, when reality,
it's
you
facing
ain't doing
and
nothing.
Rebranding.
Yeah.
They can't even get their basic kind of element of bus service, like adhering to the schedule on mm-hmm. time. But new cards, bus wraps, all this other kind of app coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, remember they had an app just to show the transit times? And that didn't even work? What makes you think that someone's going to trust their credit card or debit card?
Right.
Or the app is going to malfunction to pay for the buses? How about you just do it on-time service first, update the time on the clocks on the display screens at the Rosa Parks Transit Center? And that screensaver.
Oh my God, that screensaver is
oh
always there.
Oh my God, that screensaver. Yeah, okay, I want to tell y'all what we're talking about. So, in every transit center, right, there's an inbound, an outbound, or incoming departures, right? In any station you go to, train, bus, airport, you name it, right? This lovely little Windows XP screensaver comes up that blocks the display for the inbound and outcome buses. So we're relying on asking ill-trained customer service reps that really want to get you out of their face, or like security guards, and they've been really helpful too. Some of the transit, I would say some of the transit police have been helping and showing people where to go to catch the bus or what time, but it really depends on who's in that office that day. Yeah. And remember, I pushed back against this behavior at the Rosa Parks Transit Center.
The really, like really bad customer service that people have been receiving
they're very
for
disrespectful,
since forever.
They're really mean security guard,
especially towards the youth.
Towards the youth, and actually, like, someone we both know too, and their son as well. Mm-hmm. But we won't go too much into detail about that.
All I remember is Home Slice from VDOT. She decided to try to kind of pit us, the bus riders, against our homeless population here in Detroit, because we were complaining about how the security guards make us leave our bags and purses outside of the bathroom at the Rosa Parks Transit Center. And I remember asking them, why are you making us leave our bags outside of the transit, outside of the bathroom? I was like, that's so weird. I want to take a bag in with me. And they said, oh, it's because there are a lot of homeless people that go in there, and that they shoot up drugs or clog the sinks or the toilets, or some people get undressed and things like that. And so we were like, I was like, I don't care what you think is going to happen. First of all, who are you to judge who's homeless and who's not? And then, second of all, I didn't like the fact that she tried to pit us against the homeless. Like,
really,
we have to leave our things out here because of the homeless people. Like, that was so fucking rude.
That was so disrespectful. It's so offensive and dehumanizes human beings, because they have nowhere else to go in the city, right? The transit center is the only public bathroom, and they use the bathroom as a weapon. They'll close that at arbitrary times, not even on their posted schedule, to kick people out of the building. Don't pit us against homeless individuals who are riding a bus. There are bus riders too, and even if they're not riding the bus, they need somewhere to just be and exist. It's getting, you know, like all these kind of ordinances, laws where they're criminalizing people sleeping on benches, can't be in a park, can't do this. So it's kind of a situation where they have nowhere else to go. And the thing is, we were actually eliciting the complaint to them on their behalf, because they felt dehumanized and disrespected like that too. And I don't take glee in anybody being disrespected. Don't dare pit us against another group of people that are dealing with injustice and oppression in this city.
That was
like
absolutely disgusting.
That was so,
and I'm so happy that one of our fellow bus riders stood up for that, she went off and she went in. I really wish you guys could have heard that, but like, I applaud her for that, because customer service rep was completely out of order.
And she really pushed back against me too. Like, she said, I don't even know where you're getting this idea from. I said, first of all, if you heard me at the beginning, I'm saying this on behalf of a bus rider that can't be here today, that feels disrespected in this transit space. You're kicking people out to clean up at arbitrary times. You have front desk people that, it's not a real information desk. I can go on and on about like how they just really don't treat that as a transit center as well for people.
Right, it's highly policed. They also make up rules. And then also, another bus rider brought up the issue where they used cones to block off seating.
And they used this excuse that the cameras didn't work.
The cameras didn't work, and that the security guards couldn't see what was going on in that particular area. And we were like, well, what are you guys getting paid for? You're getting paid to patrol the area. So if you were doing your job by walking around every couple minutes like you're supposed to, then you wouldn't need to worry about what's going on in that area. You know.
You could put the fries down and actually walk around and see what's going on.
You can actually do your job.
Yeah.
But that probably also goes back to them not being paid very well. So honestly, this is obviously above their pay grade. Obviously.
I wouldn't know. And I made some facial expression, but obviously y'all can't see that. I wouldn't know. But whatever you're paid, you're expected to perform. And also, you're a professional, you're a city or some sort of government employee. There's some sort of like expectation of decorum and behavior. Who knows? So they don't want to patrol, but they'll block off like certain seats with like cones, so you won't sit there.
So you can't sit
that
there.
Limits the amount of seating there as well too.
And they had the excuse that there weren't that many people in the transit center, so it was okay to block it off, but if it gets really crowded, we'll move the cones. And I'm
they
like
never
no
did
you
that.
Won't no you won't
and they won't and
I've
they
never
haven't.
Seen you do that. people stand all damn night. I've like never seen you do that. And one other thing, there was a, as we talked about in our last podcast episode, Show Me Your Rack, biking with DDOT, we talked about, what was it, the lack of bike racks, things like that. Also, we didn't know the policy on if you can lock your bike while it's on the rack on the bus or not. Because when you go to the DDOT link to see the policy about locking your bike on the bus rack, it redirects you to SMART's policy, right? SMART's policy? Okay, I did not know that DDOT was SMART. Excuse me. I know that they're kind of, sort of, they're working together.
Their fare structures are merged, right, for sure.
Right, they're working together and everything, but DDOT and SMART are still separate.
They're legally separate entities.
Why didn't DDOT have its own policy? So I brought that to the attention. They said, oh, our policy is this. Like, they brought it up. They're like, oh yeah, our policy is this. No, you cannot lock your bike on the bus rack.
They made that up on the fly.
They really did. And I said, okay, so is it written down anywhere on the website? Is it written down as a policy? And they're like, no, it's not written down. I said, will you write it down so that people, when they go on the website, you can click on it and see in writing the policy, and the bus drivers will also be backed up by a written policy.
Exactly.
Don't put them in that position, because if someone goes like, well, it's not written anywhere, so I can do what I want, and they're well within, like, yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's just the concept of law. If something's not forbidden, it's legal, or at least permissible.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no policy to something, then that means it's okay to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, my advice for you, do whatever you need to do to protect your property, because they're not responsible for it anyway. It says it on your fare cards.
Yep.
They actually not responsible for your bag that they force you to sit down outside of the bathroom as well, too, at the transit center as well, too. And then they say they don't want you bringing bags in there because it's a little space. And then, you know, the homeless individuals are doing, you know, hygiene stuff like anybody would if they have no access to it in there. And they're saying all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I said, what if someone takes my bag? You're not responsible for it.
Right.
Oh, nobody steals nothing in here. Nobody steals. But you just mentioned homeless individuals being an issue, but you're now also going to say nobody has stolen anything. So, what is it?
My God. First of all, this is Detroit, right? We know we're not perfect. We know people steal, like, literally, they'll still spit off the floor if they could sell it, right? We know it's a city, just like any other city.
Any city, something that's not bolted down to get stolen.
So what makes you think no one's gonna steal bags that you're not watching security guards? You guys aren't watching it, okay? It's not your property. You don't really care. We know this. And bikes right off the rack, right off the bus rack.
Yeah.
Because another bus rider brought that up, who's also a cyclist, the fact that fellow cyclists who take DDOT have had their bikes stolen right off the rack. And what did the DDOT representative say? She said that doesn't happen. Flat out called her a liar and said it doesn't happen.
Wow.
And she's like, well, it has happened. People have told me that it happens. That's why I watch my bike so closely.
But if there's no way to watch incidents or read the incidents reports, which they don't publish on their website, how can they flat out just deny and say it don't happen when they don't even report incidents to the local, you know, to bus riders here? It's not even on their website. They don't even have a website.
I brought up the issue that the DDOT page on the DetroitMI.gov website, when you click on the secondary languages such as Spanish, Bengali, or Arabic, to get that, you know, get all the information translated into the language, they're not working, and it's been like that. I've checked it, like, the past 2 weeks. It's been like that at least since for 2 weeks.
Wow, so yeah. they still haven't rectified that issue.
No, and I brought it up Thursday, and they were like, oh, we'll get right on that. We'll have somebody take a look at that. And I'm like, okay, so I'm still waiting. That was Thursday. It is now Tuesday. And it's still like that. So I'm going to give them a full week.
Right.
At least, but yeah, that means they have 2 more days on the clock.
But you know what? They don't have July, so they got until August also to make sure that those dark flyers for the new pay system, the fare pay system, are in Bengali, Arabic, and Spanish.
Very true. Very true. I feel like it's not hard because we have a lot of Spanish speakers who also speak English, Bengali who also speak English and such. So it should be relatively easy to get those things together.
Yeah, but you know what? They'll print them out, but the whole other issue is dissemination. Are they going to get it out to the people that need it too? That's a whole nother concept or concern with them is how they communicate. But that's not this episode today.
Right. And then also, they've told us once again we're getting new shelters this summer, I think. That's what they said?
Yeah, they are. It's part of the plan.
It's part of the plan. We don't know exactly which stops are going to get them, and apparently neither do they because they sure didn't tell us.
It's like a lottery.
Or it's a secret. Who knows?
Who wins?
But apparently we're going to get those in the summer, so let's keep an eye out for new shelters rolling out.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, the monthly DDOT meetings may not be taking place at Rosa Parks Transit Center in the future. They are talking about changing the space, like changing location, because I mean, this is what they told us. They said that the Rosa Parks Transit Center is hard for a lot of people to get to. It's not ideal or center for a lot of people in Detroit.
They can never say where they're getting this from. It's just like it's inconvenient for them.
I don't know.
I'm starting to suspect that we don't like coming down here. It's hard to park down here. We're going to move y'all again somewhere else, even though in December, the bus riding community did say that they wanted meetings at the Rosa Parks Transit Center. It made sense. It is called the Rosa Parks Transit Center for a reason. It's a community space. The Raymond and Rosa Parks Institute actually gave them permission to use Rosa Parks' name and likeness for that. So we're going to have the meetings at the Rosa Parks Transit Center regardless what DDOT says. And they're going to continue. We're not going to have meetings at that headquarters.
No, I don't want to go there. I like the Rosa Parks Transit Center. It's plenty of room. It's easy for me to get there as well as others who come to the meeting regularly. And first of all, those meetings are packed. Okay, this past meeting, not so much because the weather was really bad.
Yeah.
But all the other months, the meetings have been packed.
At least 30 people, and I'm going to say at least 30
Yeah,
people.
I mean, all the seats are full, at
yeah.
least.
Oh, yeah.
So, I see no problem with us keeping it there. And then, if you do drive, I would like for them to offer you validation.
Yeah, one of our team members offered the idea as a compromise, like, okay, there's municipal parking down there. How about just have a voucher, some sort of, like, you know, some sort of validation system as well, too.
That would really help people who drive, but are still bus supporters.
Right, bus supporters or even choice riders as well, too.
Right, yeah. Right. So, you know, do you think that wraps up our DDOT?
Yeah, that report out. Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Wow, we're still in a good mood, though, too.
It was a lot to get through.
They're so patronizing.
But just so you know, yeah, no, nothing new is happening, honestly. Except,
no progress, either.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
So
we're working on it.
Let's really, really, really get into the meat of why we're here. And that's because we are grown and sexy with a curfew.
Grown and sexy with a curfew.
DDOT mandated curfew.
Dun, dun, dun. You must be home.
Right. So, okay. So the bus that I normally take, right? Which is the Chicago Davidson, and I have to take the Woodward and Manchester stop in order to get home all the way to the west side from downtown. So what's awesome about that route is that the last bus is at like what 8:30 something
during the weekday.
Weekday. So that means that I need to be there, or else
you
I'm
get
stuck
on that
down
bus.
Here, right? I'm stuck down here because that's the only bus that's going my way from like. That way, otherwise I'll have to take multiple other buses, and just it's dumb, right?
And you might run out of your 4 hours.
I might run
too.
Out of my 4 hours because DDOT likes to be late
and slow at
and
night.
Slow at night. Oh my god.
Oh god. Soon that sun sets.
So yeah. So what do you do when you miss the bus? Like honestly, like once you miss it, you like what are you doing? You just camping out at the bus stop, right? Or what are you doing?
Right. You better like so are we stranded?
Right. I've been stranded before. I've been stranded one time on a Saturday. I believe
that's
they changed the hours for that route finally, But it was like literally 5 p.m. and I got stranded on a Sunday. Wow. No, a Saturday. Excuse me. It was a Saturday. I got stranded and I was like, okay, where the bus at? Like, I can't believe it's stopping at 5 p.m. on a Saturday. What the hell is that?
So that means if you need to get home, mm-hmm. you better be on that bus at 4:30 or something mm-hmm. like that, or you're stuck. Right, that's curfew, right?
I will say that since then they have extended that service, but it's not very late. Once again, it's around 8 or 9.
The unwritten rule in Detroit is that good luck riding the buses on Saturday and Sunday. It's good luck.
It's holiday hours.
It's holiday hours every weekend.
For real. And then, like, you know, I mean, what are the reasons that one might miss their bus, though? Like, I know a lot of people are like, well, you know when the bus ends, you should be there. But what about people who are working until
overtime, had to work a little bit to clean up extra at the shop.
Right.
So you got out late. The first bus was late. So you missed...
You missed your connecting bus, right?
Yeah. Like, so you're stuck there.
So you were on time. You were going to get home, but the 8:30 bus decided to come at 8:50 instead, which is possible because this happens all the time. So then, thus, you missed your connecting bus and you have to take two buses to get home. Now you're stranded.
You know what? We're human, too. Sometimes we lose track of time. You get distracted. You're on your phone. You're on a phone call. You know that bus is supposed to be there at 7:46 or something like that, and you got there at 7:48. That bus already passed. So.
Right, and now that's your last bus.
You're stuck. Do you do? What do you do now?
I mean,
how do you get home if the bus, if you miss curfew?
Right, if you miss curfew as a 30-year-old adult.
Like, right, right. Or, you know, or 40 or 50 or 60, yeah. You know, like, what do you do if you miss that last bus? Ain't no other bus until 4 a.m. the next day, and you're stuck.
And you're stuck.
You
and
missed
it,
curfew.
And it's only 8 p.m., by the way. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm over-exaggerating. It's probably more like 9, 9:30, right? Mm-hmm. But it's still pretty early.
Yeah.
It's still pretty early, right?
In the summertime, so, yeah.
You know, you... Growing in sex with a curfew. Like,
so, you know, some people walk.
Some people have to walk. What if you can't? I mean, it's impossible
to
walk. It's too far.
What if your scooter only has a half charge?
What if your bike
because,
broke down?
You know, your bike broke down. Or
yeah. So you walk. You have to take a Lyft or an Uber.
And that's if you got Lyft. You better have Lyft money.
You better or Uber money, whichever one. And you know, actually, we don't have Lyft. Pool, I think it's called, or Uber.
We don't have Lyft or Uber Pool here.
Whatever it's called. They both have their own.
Yeah,
thing,
and
but
that's
it's the same.
Yeah, it's like that feature, like where somebody else is already in the car, you're getting picked up along the way, and it's kind of like almost like a bus, if you will, for Lyft. Like there's multiple people in the
yeah.
car and stuff.
Yes.
They're going to different
carpooling.
Destinations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's carpool.
And it makes it cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already have it in LA. It was hella cheap to get around LA.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. But here, I mean, going from downtown to the west side is like $15 to $20
wow.
on a cheap night, you know? Like, who has $15 to $20 like that?
To just burn like that.
That's
what some people make. Some people don't even make that an hour. We're trying. And in a campaign to get some people who are working hard to get $15 an hour and stuff too. So
yeah.
you already just blew away an hour wages right there trying to get home because they think it's a good idea to end a bus route at 7 o'clock in the
mm-hmm.
evening.
And by then we do have certain bus routes that are 24 hours a day, of course.
Once
an hour, and also it's only a few. Like there, how many bus routes? 48.
There's 48 total, and then there's like 12 bus routes that are 24 hours.
Okay, so let's say for instance,
yeah,
I believe that the Greenfield is now 24 hours, correct?
I am inclined to
think it is.
I think so.
But even if it's not, hypothetically, let's say that the Greenfield bus is 24 hours, right?
Right.
But you live closer to Evergreen. Evergreen is not 24 hours. Let's say you get on the Greenfield. You're there. Yeah, you're near where you you're kind of sort of close to your house, but you still need to take that Joy Road to get close to your house.
Right.
Greenfield to Evergreen is far as hell.
And they're parallel. So that's a... I was
it's
about.
Far. Yeah, they're parallel. So you have to walk from
wow.
Greenfield all the way to near Evergreen. And
that's
it's dark.
Mile. Dark.
It's not well lit here in a lot of places. There are stray dogs and stray people. What you gonna do if you don't have the money for Lyft? You don't have friends or family to help you out. You're stranded.
Your phone dead too.
Yeah, you're stranded until Joy picks up. Until Joy Road bus picks up. Like
nobody knows where you are.
Those 24 hour routes are basically useless to us.
They're useless. For another reason,
for neighborhood,
too.
For the neighborhoods anyway, for Detroit neighborhoods.
Oh yeah,
because
they don't connect well to like other routes like that, and then you're running them once an hour,
mm-hmm.
you miss that hour. you're there for another 60 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's like the Schaefer. But the Schaefer runs like the weekend every single day. So so there's so many different ways that the bus system kind of polices our movement. Mm-hmm. And it puts us, it is a curfew in a way. Because there's been many a times like, I don't want to just go home after work.
Yeah.
I want to hang out. I want to have a drink, you know?
I'm an adult. I should be able to do that.
Hang out with friends. Go to their apartment and say, you know, chill and hang out with them and be like, hey, I just got off work. What you up to? You know, crack open a beer or something like that. Oh, no. My buses aren't running on an hour now. I got to make sure I make this 9 o'clock fort, because if I miss that, I got to wait a whole another hour to do that. And... you know,
and if you miss that, you're not getting home.
You're not getting home after a certain time. And even, let's say the schedule says the route ends at like midnight or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What if you trust that schedule and that bus never came? So you're stuck.
You're really stuck.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like unofficial times. Like, don't ride that route at that time. You just don't know if you're going to make it.
Yeah, you don't know if you're going to make it. No one's... I try not to take the last bus ever.
Never.
Honestly.
That's a shame,
don't trust
too.
It.
Any other city, you could take the last bus and you know you're going to get to your destination. Mm-hmm. And connect to the other bus, right?
Right. I don't trust DDOT, period. So there's that. I don't trust it.
Just
take
make
the last
sure your
bus
phone...
anyway.
It's charged up because friends and family have to come through for you sometimes with this bus curfew that we have with these schedules.
Exactly. And so, then, like, you know, who does this affect, right? These early ending bus schedules. It affects workers, like we said, getting to and from jobs. Like, what if you work the graveyard shift and it don't start till 10 and you're on the side of town you are at? Buses ended at 9:30. Right? And you work all the way downtown.
So
how are you going to get to work?
One, you might have to find another route that's far away from you, so that means you're going to walk to it.
Right.
And if you got to the stop late, you already missed that bus, too.
Or,
that's even if that's an option.
Or you got to leave hella early and be at work super early.
The two-hour rule. You leave 2 hours ahead of time before your destination to get to DDOT. That's like the unwritten rule with DDOT. You got to leave yourself two extra hours. So basically, this is a bigger picture. It's about... you know how when you have a car, you can plan your time whatever way you want. You have access to that, right? We as bus riders, especially with DDOT, we have to plan our life around the bus schedule so we won't get caught out here stranded. Because sometimes we ain't got McDonald's money. Sometimes we ain't got Lyft money.
McDonald's, yeah.
Do I got McDonald's money?
Nah. You got McDonald's at home.
Right.
We got Lyft at home.
Like, right.
No. We're so bad. But...
oh, yeah. Oh, the transfers thing, too. Have you seen that situation where, like, that bus is an hour long and, you know, you're on a perpendicular bus line. So you're going down southbound on Dexter, 16, you get off, and then you're trying to catch the Warren going to the east side. Oops, it already pulled off, and it's another 30 minutes into that next bus or an hour.
Right.
So you're stranded there,
stranded too. Stranded for half an hour in like, a not well-lit area. Like, I know that area you're talking about. And also, the bus you need to take, right? You have to take two buses. So the first bus that you need to take is about 15 minutes late, meaning you probably missed your connecting bus. And what if that's the last bus, right? It's not even your fault. You're where you're supposed to be on time.
Right.
First bus was late, and so you missed your second bus as a result. Now you're stranded.
Wow.
Or if you're lucky, the next bus will come, like you said, but it's an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so you're waiting at a bus stop at night for an hour.
And you know, we have students, this is like the summertime, a lot of some students are going to summer school, some are in extracurricular activities,
right. Some
sports.
Are in university, so they're taking summer classes,
doing a dual enrollment, and also the city of Detroit, I think, has a curfew on the books for youth as well too, so that could be violated if they miss their bus late,
right?
It crimps our social life, too.
Oh,
bus riders, because the way they do the service is getting you to work and getting you back home. I want to have fun. I want to have big fun. Grown and sexy fun. But I can't go to that bar.
Big fun.
Right. I can't go to that bar because I'm going to miss my last bus.
Right. Yeah. My social life, sometimes. I mean, okay. For instance, we just had the fireworks, you know?
Woo!
We just had the fireworks. But I just knew that DDOT would not be acting correct after the fireworks
ended. I knew to go home.
I knew to stay home. I was like, I can't do it because I just know that the buses are not going to be right. Before that, we had River Days, and Brandy was going to be there, you know. But she wasn't going to get on a stage until about 9 p.m. and then end at 10. I already knew not to even try it.
Was that a Saturday?
That was indeed a Saturday.
Oh no! I knew riding the bus on Saturday at night.
I knew not to try it.
You better get on that bus at 7 p.m. because you're going to miss bus curfew.
You're going to miss Brandy and Brian McKnight. Just go home. It's not worth it.
It's better to go home than get stranded on a bus route.
Right, right. You know? It's just,
whew. Wow, Sunday.
Yeah, it's definitely, we're definitely at the mercy of DDOT's schedule.
Our lives are scheduled around their schedule. Yeah. Like, we're not timing our lives the way we can do it.
Yeah.
It's around their schedule.
Around their schedule. And I just don't think that's fair. I mean, we pay DDOT, right?
Yeah.
And basically, they're supposed to do what we need them to do, which is run their schedule according to my schedule.
Right.
I mean, as selfish as that
you
sounds.
No, you should be able to, you shouldn't have to be beholden to a schedule to live your life around. Like, when I was on vacation in LA last year, it was like 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm on vacation. I'm having fun. You know, I just got out of a speakeasy and I'm trying to head back to my Airbnb. The bus was running at 5:35 a.m. So there was no grown and sexy curfew. I was able to have a good time and not have to feel like a child and be like, I gotta hurry up and leave y'all. I can't stay with y'all because I'm gonna miss my bus home and there's no other bus home like that.
How
embarrassing that is as a grown person. And the thing is, it's like this idea, we live in a city, you should just get a car anyway. You wouldn't have to worry about that.
No, pay for all that.
No, I want to ride the bus.
I enjoy the bus.
I enjoy getting around the city in the bus. And if I want to hang out at between 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning and still get home and still have bus service, then yeah.
Yeah, I should definitely be allowed that.
And that's just leisure. What about somebody working at graveyard shift?
Seriously, though. Yeah. And they finish at 3 a.m. and then guess what? They can't.
Yeah, we have a lot of manufacturing jobs here. We got factories here. We're still, we're an industrial city, but you're running the bus service for office workers 9 to 5. That's not equitable.
At all.
That's not fair.
No, Monday through Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday is up in the air. Funny.
Like, oh, Sunday? That's a theory. The schedules are, like, they're, like, hypotheticals at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the schedules on Sunday are hypotheticals. Like, on a good day, if we have enough drivers on this day, where the department is actually competent in running the service on the weekends, this is what your schedule is on Sunday. It's a holiday schedule, though.
Driving me crazy.
Jingle bells.
Merry Christmas.
Right. In July.
In July. Something I want to talk about. Why does bus service end so early, though? Like, is there a reason, do you think, that bus service ends so early in this city, this major city we call Detroit?
I learned that bus routes, especially those that connect to the suburbs, have certain hours. Or if you have a bus that runs at certain hours and it cuts off at a certain time, you are effectively policing the movement of people. You are basically saying that bus riders are not welcome in parts of the city as given parts of the time. Which means you're running the service just to get us to work and back or to school and back as if we don't ride the bus for other reasons.
Right. I honestly,
we're not allowed to have leisure as bus riders. You're a bus rider. You're not allowed to have fun. You should get a car.
I noticed that, the routes downtown, they run really late or sometimes 24 hours.
Yeah.
So those who live downtown, usually they have a little bit more money because it's more expensive down here, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they can move around freely downtown. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who live in Detroit neighborhoods, we're considered riffraff, especially if you take the bus. That means you're low income for some odd reason. So therefore, they don't want you down here when all the fun stuff happens.
Yeah.
So you're basically forced to leave downtown.
The
riffraff goes home.
And then
the gentry come out
to play.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the Capitol in the Hunger Games. Like, they come out in nice outfits and everything. And we're at home sleeping so we can go serve them, secure them, and pour their drinks the next day.
Right. It's so ignorant. I can't think of any other reason why bus service, besides it. Of course, they're going to say that there are not enough bus drivers, and that's true.
We do not have enough bus drivers.
Right. I will say that. And why do you think we don't have enough bus drivers?
Maybe because if you're paying people like it's a teenage job, then maybe they're not going to elect to have that job, because who wants to sit there and go through all this stuff for less than $20 an hour? The fact that bus drivers starting out are making less than $20 an hour is offensive.
It's disgusting because they have everyone's lives in their hands. They have to go through all this
training.
They are
a crucial part of the city and the economy. They get things. They move the city. Yeah. Literally.
Without them, we would get nowhere.
Literally, we'd get nowhere.
I'd be walking everywhere.
Many of us wouldn't be employed either. Real. Like, seriously.
It's ridiculous. Like, they literally make Detroit go around.
It's like almost
it's a disservice.
Like, it's so this curfew enough. Thing. Majority black city. It's starting to feel like a. I'm not listening. I don't want to say that for those who actually, you know, survived that.
It's a kind of prison. It's kind of a bubble.
It's a way that our movements, we're not welcome at certain times everywhere. Our movements are policed, and there's no will or effort to make the schedules easier for us, because why make things easy for bus riders in the city of Detroit?
Right.
Why make things easier for us to connect to different bus routes or from transfer from route to route? Why make that easy for bus riders? Nah,
make it hard. I know it's hard, because anytime a trip that's normally, like when you're in a car, anytime that trip is normally 15 to 20 minutes in the car, in a moving vehicle, in a car, and then you go and try to make that same trip on a bus and it takes you over an hour, I know something's up. 15, 20 minutes, an hour and 30.
There's something wrong.
Something's up.
Something's
that means
the same bus, distance. That means,
yeah, same distance. Sorry, yeah. It's weird. That just means that these buses aren't running regularly. And when you get to your connecting bus, it's not coming on time. Or there's a really long gap in between the meetup, the connecting bus. Because I know for a fact, when I take the Grand River bus to Evergreen and Grand River to take the Evergreen bus, every time it's like a half an hour gap in between buses.
Who wants to sit at a bus stop for a half hour with no seats?
There is at least a seat there.
There is at least a
shelter.
But you know, not every stop is going to get a seat or shelter. We heard that at the community input meeting. Just so you know.
Yeah. Just down the street, there isn't one. Excuse me. Just down the street, there isn't one. But yeah, I was lucky enough to be at a shelter with a stop. I mean, and it's not like there's a bunch of seats on it. It's like, it fits four people to sit down.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Average size.
Average size, whatever that means. But
ridership too low in certain areas, so they have this excuse like they won't run certain bus routes later at certain times because those people, it's too few people in that neighborhood or that area.
Ridership
and
is too low.
We don't care if they are stranded and can't use the bus time in a certain area. It's just too low. Too bad. You live in a bad neighborhood. You lived in the wrong neighborhood. You did not win the bus route runs 24 hours lottery.
Like I explained to the representative DDOT in the, I think it was the April or May meeting, ridership would be higher if buses ran in a timely fashion and more regularly.
So they're waiting for ridership to increase in order to frequent the buses. That's
Which
putting the cart
no
before
sense.
The horse. Yeah,
it makes no sense. It's just being reactive at this point. Like I said, if you were more proactive and you were like, hey, our bus runs every 15-20 minutes without fail at this time, you won't be stranded and it won't be like forever until the next bus comes. People will definitely consider the bus to be a viable option.
And safe too.
And safe. And you know, and maybe even jobs would stop trying to tell you, in order to be hired, you need a car. You've seen that in Michigan, right?
Oh yeah.
These jobs have stipulations. Like, in order to work for us, you need to have reliable transportation, aka a car. Well, a bus would be reliable transportation if they were coming to us in a timely fashion.
So I wonder if they're intentionally. I wouldn't say that. That's putting intent or blame. But I wonder if the system, the way the system operates, it's almost intentional that you are punished for being a bus rider, that limits the amount of job opportunities you have, access to certain jobs, because they're not interested in being patient on you being late every 10 minutes every single day because the buses aren't running right and things of that sort. So it creates, this is a very stark class difference as well in the type of jobs that people make do in the city. Detroit, that's one thing we will make a way, but we shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, it's hard out here, man. Sometimes I do want to give in and be like, forget it, I'll just get a car. But I don't want that hanging over my head, honestly. I don't need
And then there's the expenses with parking, tickets, fines, gasoline, registration fee every year. I call it the birthday tax. The birthday tax, the insurance.
Oh, my God.
My goodness. The insurance rates are high. So ridership, which they don't even accurately count or don't even report, so you can't even get ridership numbers on the website anyway. So they'll use that to justify the lack of equitable and adequate service at nighttime and on mm-hmm. weekends, but we don't know what the ridership is because you don't post those numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of changes do you think need to be made? Like for me, I noticed that at night they slow down the service. I don't think that they should do that. I think that they should actually speed up and make the service more frequent at night, at least between like 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. because that's when people are trying to get home.
That's a peak hour type
of
time.
That's a peak hour. Yeah. I think that they should definitely have more frequent buses instead of less because
ridership will increase.
Yeah, exactly. And people are, like I said, they're trying to catch their connecting bus. So if buses came more frequently, we'd be able to get home.
And I would say this. So one solution, just up the frequency between hours like 6 p.m. to about 10.
Yes.
And then at nighttime, instead of running each bus if there's a 24-hour bus route. So they say that, yeah, it's 24 hours, but it's once an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes, maybe?
Yeah.
Increase that slightly, just a little bit, mm-hmm. because who wants to wait an entire 60 minutes
Yeah. You mean like after the peak time?
The graveyard hour. So after peak time, like mm-hmm. let's say we're going into 11, 12, until about 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes. Is reasonable. That's
about like it is.
15 minute chop time.
Yeah.
It seems faster than that whole hour waiting or whatever. Psychologically, that does too. And plus, it takes into consideration their constraints, the amount of drivers available at night, the amount of buses at night, right, too. 45 minutes, that's still a lot.
And what kills me is that where in the hell does DDOT get off slowing service down once an hour when we don't have like benches and shelters at every stop where people can wait and make that hour go by easily? And next, like, how are just there are no lights?
It's not really dangerous. It's dark out here
at
nighttime like that, and it's dangerous. And then there's some really serious issues going on, and I know on the east side with like women getting kidnapped and things of that sort. I know we mentioned that before.
Children.
There's safety considerations for this. You're running a once an hour bus route at night.
Do you know what can happen in an hour? A lot can happen in an hour.
An hour, yeah.
It's crazy.
Weather could change in an hour. You know how Michigan is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it can be sunny. Next moment, it's a thunderstorm. Your bus, you still waiting on that bus. It's an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You got rained on.
Right.
Yeah.
Every freaking time.
God forbid.
Every time.
So, you know, increase the frequency in the graveyard shift hours, right?
Yeah.
Up in the frequency because we notice there's a slowdown. There's a huge slowdown. The big elephant in the room, too, is the fact that they need to offer drivers just a better package, an incentive to drive with DDOT.
Especially if they're doing the 24-hour routes. I feel like nighttime is just a little bit more taxing.
It's taxing at nighttime. Yeah. There's certain people who are built for nighttime
mm-hmm.
type of working and shifts like that, the third shift, the night shift. Not only that,
mm-hmm.
this is a major city in the state of Michigan. It is the cultural economic capital of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running the bus department as if we're
bunch of volunteers.
Like we're some sort of small town.
Yeah.
Like, Detroit's a major city. Nationally, mm-hmm. so the way that they're like, we gotta have drivers like, first of all, pay them not a living wage, pay them a nice middle class retirable wage.
Right.
First of all,
right.
We can afford it.
Yeah.
You can afford
and
to give.
And once they hire more bus drivers, they can add more buses to the routes, right?
Yes,
that's what they always telling us. They can't
riders,
add more
funding.
Right. They always say they can't add more buses to the route because they don't have enough bus drivers. Well, let's add more bus drivers.
Yeah.
And pay them properly.
Yes.
And also extend service hours for buses in the neighborhoods, because what good is having only some routes be 24 hours and not the others?
The neighborhoods routes, it's what good is the neighborhood routes running so infrequently or not at all that they don't feed into the main 24-hour routes? I'm pretty sure they have people thinking this through. It's just like, give us the straight, give us the 411.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you running schedules like this in a major city?
It makes zero sense.
It's unacceptable. It's why?
So, yeah, do better, DDOT. Do better.
Do better, D-Dot. So,
all right. Any other updates?
I don't think there's any other updates, but we do want to remind you that the DDoC Community Input Meeting will take place August 15th, so you get a month break. Third Thursday, Rosa Parks Transit Center from 5 to 7 p.m. on that second floor, August 15th. No meeting in July.
No meeting in July, guys. And all right, let's close out. My name is Sam.
And Ray.
And you were listening to Do Better DDoC Podcast.
Do Better DDoC. Bye.